From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Biden pays off Iran, the House launches impeachment proceedings, and the CIA tries to bribe their own agents. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. And welcome to the Pray Vote Stand Summit edition of Washington Watch. I'm here in our nation's capital for the Pray Vote Stand Summit at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. You'll be hearing about the summit a little bit during the show, but it's probably just a little too late for you to attend in person this weekend. But I have good news. You can still go over to TonyPerkins.com and get information on how to view the speakers from the event. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. In an absolutely shocking move on Monday, the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America, the Biden administration announced that they were swapping prisoners with the terrorist state of Iran and releasing $6 billion that we held through sanctions that were imposed on the state, effectively giving Iran cash for hostages. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Tuesday to talk about it was Representative Mark Alford of Missouri.
Congressman Alford, welcome back to the program. Great to see you.
Good to see you, Tony.
All right, we just had Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin on discussing this announcement yesterday. I want to get your reaction. The fact that it came out on September the 11th, $6 billion to a regime that has been identified and labeled as a terrorist regime.
Tony, I think it's very sad. You will remember 2 years ago that President Biden wanted to pull out of Afghanistan on the anniversary of 9/11 to make a statement. What ended up happening is some people with clear heads, I think, convinced him to get out just a few weeks earlier so it would not be on this somber occasion. And now, 2 years later, the President of the United States decides to free up $6 billion of the Iranian money. Yes, true, but money that they can now use to fund terrorism. This is the number one terrorist state in the world intent on doing away with Israel. They are ready to build a nuclear bomb to get rid of Israel. And we, well, not we, but President Biden has seen fit to release this money to further their causes.
Well, I mean, I raised this issue earlier with General Boykin. I think America must look schizophrenic on the national stage because just today, this afternoon on the House floor, there was a discussion over a bill to put sanctions on Iran, on their missile program and on their drone program because of their human rights abuses and their terrorist activities. But on one hand, we're saying we're going to put sanctions on you. On another hand, we're giving them $6 billion.
You know, the administration came out today, the Pentagon, and I don't know who that spokesperson was. I was watching it on the plane a bit. This continued gaslighting of the American people. He would say, wait a minute, we're not giving the Iranians this money. Well, you're technically not giving it to them. It's their money, but you're freeing it up so they can take their money that they have in a pot now that they're going to use for other situations and circumstances and now apply it to terrorism. So, yes, you are freeing that. It's kind of like the whole Planned Parenthood.
You're absolutely right.
We're not funding abortions. Well, you're paying to keep their lights on. You're paying them to operate for so-called women's health care and reproductive care, which abortion is not reproductive care. So my point is you can play all the word games you want.
Right.
But we've got our eye on you, President Biden. We know what you're up to. And it is not good for the world. It is not good for Israel. It is not good for the United States of America.
A perfect analogy. In fact, I'd written that down, that Title 10 funding, which funds family planning. You know, it was Trump, President Trump separated so you couldn't do abortions and family planning under the same roof, the co-location rule. And, of course, the Biden administration did away with that. It's the same thing. It's covering the overhead. So this money is fungible. They can move the money around,
right,
and it's going to give them more money to do evil. I want to get to some of the appropriations bills on defense spending. But before I get to that, one final question on this. Your biggest concern coming out of this exchange of five Americans, five Iranians, and $6 billion?
Well, look, I am very glad that five Americans will be coming back to U.S. soil. Don't get me wrong on that. And I think the administration tries to play off the emotions of the American people to try to get things done. I think that is wrong. Him trying to tie additional Ukraine aid now to funding relief efforts in Maui and Florida, I think that is wrong. But I will say this. This is only going to make Iran think about taking more hostages.
Yeah.
And so what are we going to tell these next five families?
Right.
Okay, these first five families, we got them back home, but now you're expendable because we are funding terrorism by releasing $6 billion to the worst terrorist state known to man.
It fuels hostage taking. We were talking about that earlier. I want to move to the defense appropriations. We're talking about a continuing resolution. Hopefully we'll get to these appropriations bills, because there's some good things in these appropriations bills, including restricting these funds for abortion travel and the woke policies of the Pentagon. We've got about 45 seconds. Tell us about it.
This is so important. We get this passed, get it passed this week, one of 11 appropriations bills we still have to pass. We're going to give the military a 5.2% pay increase. We're going to beef up our funding for next generation aircraft desperately needed to keep China at bay. We also have $9 billion in the Pacific Defense Initiative, which is so important. We've got to get this done, Tony, for the security of America.
Well, it brings some sanity back to our government through these appropriations bills. So important that these get through the process. Congressman Mark Alford, always great to see you. Thank you for your hard work on Capitol Hill on behalf of faith, family, and freedom.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you.
You can find out more about Mark Alford when you visit tonyperkins.com. And make sure you check out the links to this weekend's Pray Vote Stand Summit happening right now in Washington, D.C. That's all over at tonyperkins.com.
Now more than ever, Christians need to be prepared to articulate the truth of God's Word to our culture in an informed and loving manner. That is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview exists. By applying the Bible and the historical teachings of the church to a wide range of relevant issues, including voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, sexuality, and more, the experts at the center have provided resources to help Christians live by a biblical worldview, to understand why Scripture must be authoritative, and to equip believers to advance and defend the faith in the workplace, in schools, in their communities, and in the public square. Access free resources like the Biblical Worldview series at frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work of the Worldview Fellows, including their latest blogs, op-eds, interviews, and more, sign up for the Center for Biblical Worldview's newsletter at frc.org/subscriptions.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. After being widely criticized for the administration's gaffe on Iran on Monday, things got even worse for them on Tuesday. It was announced by Speaker Kevin McCarthy that the House would finally open an impeachment inquiry of President Biden. How did the administration react? They sent instructions to reporters to be on the lookout for misinformation about the president. Joining Tony Perkins on Wednesday to discuss it was Representative Harriet Hageman of Wyoming.
Congressman, welcome back to the program. Always great to see you.
Thank you, and it's wonderful to be here.
I want to ask you about this letter that the White House is sending out to the legacy media, telling them basically to scrutinize Republicans, not to pass on disinformation. This sounds a lot like what that they just got slapped for by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in their collaborating with social media to censor Americans.
Well, you know, Tony, I think I'm going to need to buy 100 copies of the Constitution and have them hand delivered to the White House so that they can actually read the document that they are supposed to be following and that they swore to uphold. The First Amendment very clearly states that they can't do what it is that they're trying to do. Yet they continue to try to deflect attention. What I want to say to the, about this is that the American people are entitled to know the depth and the scope of the corruption of Joe Biden and how he has sold out the United States of America. What do I mean by that? To what extent is our foreign policy being dictated by the agreements that Hunter Biden negotiated with the Chinese Communist Party? To what extent is he continuing to try to send billions of dollars to Ukraine because of the arrangements that you that Hunter Biden and the deals that Hunter Biden cut in Ukraine? We have got to have a better understanding of who is controlling the White House and why Joe Biden is making the decisions that he is. This impeachment inquiry is to get to the bottom and expose Joe Biden for what he is.
So, Congresswoman, I want to ask you specifically to inform our listeners and our viewers, what tools and information will now be available that was not available prior to this inquiry of impeachment?
It's my understanding that we will be able to actually force some of these agencies to produce the documents that will uncover what it is that we're talking about and expose this information. The other thing is to be able to bring more witnesses in to testify in front of us and allow us to ask the questions and expose, for example, the emails. We do know that Joe Biden was using other names on his email. He was using other email accounts that were not under Joe Biden's name to conduct official business, to include Hunter Biden on official emails with folks from under the Obama administration. So it's going to give us broader authority to actually gather the documents to show the American public what Joe Biden has been doing and how it has affected national security and the decisions that he has made.
So previously, you were able to get some of the banking records from Hunter Biden. But the president basically protected. But now that you have the impeachment inquiry, even his records will be accessible to the committee, much like what we saw with President Trump, where there were two impeachment inquiries and they had his IRS records and all types of information, which some of them released to the public.
You know, one of the things that really strikes me about this is that Joe Biden continuously professes that he has not done anything wrong. Yet at every single turn, he has attempted to thwart our ability to understand his relationship with Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's companies, as well as his interaction with foreign malign actors. So you would think that a gentleman who wants to come clean and he wants everybody to believe that he's been completely above board would provide us additional information about, for example, the 20 sham companies that were set up by Hunter Biden and other members of the Biden family to pour money from one account to another account to another account to another account. Money that was coming again from the Chinese Communist Party, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, Romania, and these other countries that are not exactly our friends.
So, Congresswoman Hageman, this question for you. Do you think, based on what you've seen so far, you're going to find enough evidence here that would lead to an impeachment of Joe Biden?
We're going to follow the facts. We're going to where the facts lead us. But I believe there's already sufficient evidence to demonstrate that Joe Biden is completely compromised. I think when you look at the documents from the Hunter Biden laptop, you will find exactly what I'm talking about. And what I'm referring to are things such as his email to his daughter saying, I had to give half of my money to dad. I wouldn't make you do that. So it's those kinds of things that I think we absolutely already have the evidence. The whistleblowers and the information that they have provided has been extremely important.
Yeah, I think from my days as a police officer, I think there's enough there for probable cause to get a search warrant. And that would be getting this information, the banking records, to see where, in fact, these statements lead. Did he get that money? So I think you're absolutely right. If I've got time, I want to switch to another topic very quickly. Today, Senator Marco Rubio sent a letter to the FBI talking about scandal and cover up. Well, back in January, the FBI gave testimony, the FBI director gave testimony regarding the letter that came out, or the report that came out of the Richmond field office targeting Catholics for their ideology, which they said was radical. This was the traditional Catholics. So now it appears that the FBI director saying this was just in one place, it now appears that this was coming from multiple FBI locations.
We are uncovering those facts. And it wasn't just in January that he testified to that. He testified to that effect in July in front of the Judiciary Committee. And he repeatedly said that it was just one office, that it was a rogue office, that there was nobody had ever authorized that letter, that they were not targeting Catholics. They were not targeting traditional Catholics. And we now know that he lied to Congress. We now know that he was dishonest both to the Senate as well as to the House in terms of what they have been doing in targeting the traditional Catholics and infiltrating churches. You know, Tony, this ought to frighten all of us.
Yes.
Again, the First Amendment is there for a reason. And the First Amendment, the freedom of religion, the freedom of the press, the freedom of association, the freedom to assemble, all of those things are so critically important. And then when you have the government who is targeting people because of their Christian beliefs, the religious beliefs, you realize that you have a government that's gone completely rogue.
I think you're absolutely right. This, as you said, should frighten every American that they were producing these reports. And I was wrong. The date that the report came out was in January, but that they're targeting people of traditional Christian faith in this in this country. You're absolutely right.
In this country. In the United States of America,
yeah,
that is based upon Judeo-Christian values. The idea that our government would be attempting to infiltrate Catholic churches is really, it is so far beyond anything that I ever expected I would see out of our federal government. And here we are.
Yeah. Congresswoman Hageman, always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming on and joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, coming up on Washington Watch, did the CIA pay its own analyst a bribe to change their position on the origins of the coronavirus in Wuhan, China? I mean, stuff's crazy. This is the Biden administration. This is the deep state. And we are in a spiritual battle that's manifesting itself like never before. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Christians must be aware of the issues that threaten the culture and the church. To this end, Family Research Council's David Claussen, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book titled Male and Female He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage. This book was written to help Christians understand what Scripture teaches and how to address them biblically. Included in the study are complimentary videos that expound upon the themes of each chapter. Order your copy of this book at hecreatedthem.org.
Reading Scripture consistently and in a meaningful way can sometimes prove to be difficult. Many don't know where to begin or struggle to understand how to apply the passages they read to daily life. Scripture is our daily spiritual bread. And just as we eat every day for the nourishment of our body, we ought to spend time with God in His Word for the nourishment of our mind and soul. Reading the Bible daily helps us to better understand and grow closer to the Father. It also prepares and equips us to do good work for God's kingdom. That's why Family Research Council offers the Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. It's a 2-year plan that will help you read Scripture daily so you can better know God's truth, walk through our culture from a biblical worldview, and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sign up to get the daily passages and questions today by visiting frc.org/Bible. The persecution of Christians grows globally every year and continues to become more aggressive and dangerous. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares the true stories from those who have faced religious persecution and takes a look at the heartbreaking circumstances Christians encounter due to the difficult and sometimes deadly hostility to their faith. Get your copy wherever books are sold or at frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday for Washington Watch. All right, this is a big week. We've got the Pray Vote Stand Summit coming up Friday and Saturday. Great lineup. We're going to have former President Donald Trump, former Vice President Mike Pence, Governor Ron DeSantis. We're going to have a host of other leaders, congressional leaders, as well as a number of religious leaders, pastors. We're going to have Pastor Jack Hibbs, Gary Hamrick, and others. So be sure, and if you can, join us. There's still time and there's still room, but you're gonna have to register soon. Go to prayvotestand.org to find out more and to register. As I mentioned, according to House Coronavirus Subcommittee Chairman Brad Winstrup and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner, a senior-level CIA officer with decades of experience testified to members of Congress that the CIA offered a monetary bribe to agents investigating the origins of COVID-19 to change their conclusion that the virus originated from a leak at the Wuhan lab. Now, you'll recall that both the FBI and the Department of Energy released their conclusions that the virus most likely originated from the Wuhan lab. So what was behind this? Why would the CIA want to cover up their own findings? What were they afraid of? Who were they trying to protect? Where does this go back to? Joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Rich McCormick. He serves on the House Armed Services Committee, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, as well as the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Georgia. Dr. McCormick, welcome back to the program. Great to see you.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So what do we know about this potential CIA bribe and cover-up so far?
Yeah, so what we've heard is some of it's not specific, but basically 6 out of 7 scientists originally stated that they thought that this was from a lab leak. And it makes sense. As a scientist, as an ER doctor, not much else makes sense other than a lab leak. Then suddenly they changed their opinions based on essentially a bribe. They were promised a bonus if they would reconsider and say, no, we think this came from a natural course, such as a bat or a dog or whatever you want to say it came from. The fact of the matter is it never made sense from the beginning because China put a considerable amount of effort into proving that it came from a natural source, which they could never prove. If it came from a natural reservoir, then it would have still existed. That's how viruses exist. They continue in the same species, but we've never been able to identify that whatsoever. So the only remaining natural theory that makes sense is from the lab leak, from a lab that, by the way, remember, said we were going to do we want to get funding for this advancement of technology so we can actually have gain of function. We said no. They did it anyways. Usually when you ask for that kind of funding, they've already started anyways.
Right.
It was embarrassing to our government. In my opinion, Fauci covered it up because he was embarrassed that we're funding it to begin with, even if it was with or without our permission. Why the CIA got involved with it would have had to been some sort of direction from the president. Otherwise, I don't know why they'd want to cover it up, quite frankly. And that's what we got to get to the bottom of, is the next step of why there was such a cover-up. Why would the CIA get involved in pushing their thumb down on the scales of justice and figuring out what actually happened? That's what's really worrying people all the way around. When the government comes in and they have an issue that has nothing to do with getting what's right and just, not finding the truth, but just playing politics, that always worries us. From the beginning of time, from the establishment of our country, we've had a deep mistrust of government. And especially when they do these sort of things, it just makes us more worried.
Well, being on the subcommittee, the select subcommittee on the coronavirus, you've heard a lot of testimony, look at a lot of documents. Is it reasonable to look at this and say, was the CIA possibly covering for China?
It sure is troubling to think that. I mean, why would they? I think it's because we have been in coercion unwittingly. I think it makes us look very dull in our investment in the Wuhan lab. Where they did something that literally cost multiple countries millions and millions of lives of their citizens because something that we're funding. Like I said, I don't think we wittingly went into this and said, we want you to do gain of function. We're authorizing that. But the fact is, we were funding it, whether we wanted to or not. And I think that's where the cover-up came. And as you know, most problems come from cover-ups, not from honesty.
Right. So what are the next steps for the subcommittee that's looking into this now that you have this information?
Well, let's find out who got those bonuses, identify those scientists, bring them in, make them testify so they actually have to have an honest conversation and enlighten us on who gave those bonuses, who offered it. Specifically, let's weed out the CIA. Let's weed out the FBI. Let's make sure we call to the carpet those people who are doing things that are not just unjust, but dishonest, and get an honest conversation. I think this is what the American public demands, is that they have transparency of their government. that their government agencies aren't colluding with the enemy or covering up something that we can learn from, because we want better answers for the things that we fund.
But it's kind of like whack-a-mole. I mean, every time you turn around, there's another scandal over here. There's more information coming out over here. And in fact, you've been heavily focused on the chaos at the southern border, particularly as an entry point for known terrorists. You know, what is the way forward here? What does the Biden administration need to do to address the crisis at our border?
The only thing the Biden administration can do to address the border is to get out. In other words, we need to replace him. He's not going to do it. He already knows this is unpopular, even with his own party. You have sanctuary cities saying, enough, we can't handle it. When a sanctuary city says, we want to send them to the country, you know there's a big problem. When the cities that have thought it was such a great idea, though they had to deal with it, all of a sudden the realities hit them, they don't have a place to keep them. Then when you have nothing but consumers, nobody producing something, when they're consuming, whether it be food, shelter, they're not working, they're not legally allowed to work. Stay in Mexico was the right thing to do. And now we're literally having billion-dollar grants with no bidding process, providing people at a very expensive rate, more than you and I would go on a vacation with, for very meager accommodations with no hope of staying here in the long term because they're not here legally. And the only way for them to stay here will be through avoiding any sort of contact with the legal system because they're going to be deported if we follow the law.
Right.
And if we're not following the law, why are they here to begin with?
I mean, that's part of the humanitarian crisis. Of course, we've got the children that have just been lost, the tens of thousands of children that have been lost. We've got the drugs coming over. We've got the terrorists coming over. And you're right. I was on the border during the Trump administration's policy of remain in Mexico, and it looked like a ghost town. It was working back then. Congressman, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Great to see you. Appreciate your insight.
My pleasure. God bless you and Semper Fidelis.
Semper Fi.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. A reminder to go to TonyPerkins.com to find links to the videos of our speakers from this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.